The Union had withstood four severe sectional crises. Each crisis had been patched over with a congressional compromise, but each compromise made it more evident that the North and the South were drifting apart. The final compromise over the Lecompton Constitution abandoned all pretense at resolving the underlying disagreements. Bleeding Kansas was the prelude to civil war. The violence in the territory had been mirrored in Congress. Senator Charles Sumner of Massachusetts had delivered an impassioned speech on what he called the crime against Kansas, full of invective against the aged Senator Butler. A few days later, Congressman Preston Brooks, the insulted senator's nephew, brutally beat Sumner unconscious with a cane right on the Senate floor. Sumner was unable to return to his seat for 2.5 years. Approving Southerners sent Bully Brooks more than 100 replacement canes for the one he had broken. The country was in a violent mood. Some abolitionists reluctantly concluded that both moral and political action had failed. Only revolution could root out slavery. On the night of October 16, 1859, John Brown, fresh from Bleeding Kansas, led 20 or so heavily armed blacks and whites in seizing the federal arsenal at Harper's Ferry, Virginia. Brown hoped to ignite a general slave mutiny, but his expedition was so ill-planned that even nearby slaves did not risk rallying to his banner. After 2 days of resistance and 17 deaths, a detachment of United States Marines, commanded by Colonel Robert E. Lee, captured Brown. The state of Virginia tried Brown for treason, for inciting slave rebellion and murder. Sentenced to hang, he met his fate unflinchingly. The leading Republicans repudiated Brown, but enough Northerners applauded the martyr to appall Southerners. Southerners became gripped.